Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bee.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right, it's time for Cash It or Trash It. We do it every Tuesday at 2. What are the overreactions? What are the hot takes from the weekend that we believe? And we're going to try to sell it to the other two. Blankers, why don't you do us the honors? What's your first Cash It or Trash It?
So my first Cash It or Trash It is Michael Strahan. Because I don't know if you guys even caught this or not, but it was part of the pregame on Sunday. But it's the unwritten rule in broadcasting where if something happens basically with some of your colleagues, you kind of just sweep it under the rug and let everybody else have an opinion. He went back to what happened with the Buffalo-Cincinnati game in Hamlin, and he decided to nip it in the bud. He went right at it and said, a colleague of ours had no heart, no compassion, and didn't know the timing of when or if to say anything. And obviously I'm just generalizing what he actually said, but like everybody was like, was that the right time to do that? Was that the right way? I commend him because first of all, most employers don't want you exposing something within their four walls. And so they're asking you more than anybody else to take the high road. And you're also tiptoeing a fine line because you're putting it all out there on national TV. I give Michael Strahan a lot of credit because he did not like the way that Skip Bayless handled the situation that night. And we had talked about whether he had reversed the two comments he made in the one tweet, would it have been received a little differently. But the fact that he was willing to go out in the middle of a segment on the pregame on Fox and call him out, he didn't call him out by name, but he mentioned it, I cashed that.
Yeah, I'll cash that as well. Look, if you get asked the opinion of something, you should answer honestly. I don't think anybody's upset with Strahan that he said it. Look, Shannon Sharp kind of did the same thing when he went back out on the
But I was going to mention, the Shannon Sharp thing where I might question that is, he had multiple opportunities and multiple people asking him, why didn't he go out on Twitter? Why did he wait for everything until the show and then go on the show with it? Well, I think a lot of people still are thinking about ratings and the most exposure for what they're trying to do. And it was calculated. But I understand how some people said, right in the moment, why didn't Shannon just react right away?
I like that he waited to the show, even if it weren't for ratings. Like, I think that that's conversation that you have face-to-face, to be honest. I don't think that that's
well,
a battle or a war you fight on Twitter.
I would say face-to-face means without cameras on you. Like, I would have picked up the phone and said, Skip.
I see that. I'm with you on that. But I bet you Fox wanted that reaction live for the first time.
And then also on camera. That's also depending if they actually have a relationship where he would pick up and call and talk to him.
Yeah.
But like if Jeremy and I went through that situation.
Yeah, but you guys know each other well. I don't know. How well do Strahan and Skip Bayless know each other?
See, I would imagine they know each other pretty well.
But regardless of how well we know each other off the show, I'm going to call him if something like that pops up going, hey, man, you might not have looked at that closely enough when you put that out there, but I just throwing it out there because this is my two cents. I saw this and it might be a firestorm.
Look, Skip doubled down on it though. Like Skip said, he apologized for the way that it was received, but he doubled down on it and said that he, you know, still, like, he said that he had remorse. He just couldn't read the tone. All right, my first Cash It or Trash It: the Baltimore Ravens will franchise tag Lamar Jackson, but wait, there's more. And then they will trade Lamar Jackson this offseason. You're starting to see some dissent there. Like, Harbaugh has no idea if Lamar Jackson's going to play or not. Now, I think they have a pretty good feeling that he is going to play as of now. But last week, we have no idea about Lamar Jackson. Has been away from the team. Hasn't really even practiced with Baltimore. I believe that the Ravens, they can't let a player like that, that has that type of value, walk for free. And you're not supposed to use the franchise tag and then trade him, but it's never really enforced. The Ravens will tag and trade Lamar Jackson this offseason.
I'd say trash it.
Ooh.
I'd say trash it because of the fact that I know that they've been trying to save money. They hated the Deshaun Watson contract. They don't know that they want to pay Lamar Jackson that kind of money. But they also reconstructed their entire offensive playbook and the way that they play football and built a roster around the one guy that they brought in that did the most good for this franchise for a long period of time. And I can't see it. I think that I think it'd be a mistake. I could see it, but I think it'd be a mistake. I trash it because the Ravens are Lamar Jackson's team, whether you like it or not, and you like the style of play that they play or not. Greg Roman redid his entire playbook and play calling around Lamar Jackson, and now suddenly, with the roster that went with it, you're going to change. That's just not changing your quarterback. That's changing everything. That's why I would trash it.
They're going to get three first-rounders, Lamar Jackson, playing somewhere else 2023. B-Mac, will you cash in or trash it?
I'm going to trash it, but I do think there's some smoke there. We got the news today that the Ravens just agreed to a $100 million contract for Roquan Smith. So some of the money they could have used to pay Lamar is now gone, but I think they're most likely to tag him, so you're half right, mm-hmm. but let him come back and play.
All right, what's your cash in or trash it, B-Mac?
So my first one goes back to the national title game, and I think, obviously, when you talk about different eras of college football, it doesn't make everything an equal playing field. But I think what we've seen from the Georgia Bulldogs this last two seasons was the greatest two-year stretch in college football history. And I say that because no other team before Georgia has gone through what they had to go through to get to a national title game. College football didn't increase to 11-game regular season until the 70s. They didn't increase to a 12-game regular season, I believe, until 2006. They didn't increase to they didn't add in the SEC title game until 92. The playoff didn't come around to 2014. There's never been a team go back-to-back with a 12-game regular season, a conference championship game, plus winning two playoff games. I think and not only that, but you're going through in the same conference as Nick Saban's Alabama, who's probably been the greatest, quote-unquote, dynasty of the college football modern era. So I think what we've seen from Georgia going through the longest regular season they've ever had to go on through, having to go through a conference title game, having to get through Alabama and play the college football playoff, which until, again, 2014 teams didn't have to, I think Georgia's had the greatest two-year run in college football history.
I'm going to cash this solely because they beat Alabama last year, and they did the unthinkable in college football. They beat the great Bryce Young in a national championship game. They beat the greatness, the once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, the quarterback that can walk on water. I'm going to cash it for solely that reason, and because they beat Nick Saban. It's hard to argue it.
I was going to say beating Nick Saban would be high on my list as to why I would cash it. The only thing that would make me trash it is the fact that from the competitive nature of playoffs we've seen in the past and teams that had really impactful players on other rosters, so it was more of a grueling battle to get through. I think that it diminishes that take simply because it was such a cakewalk last night.
But they did go through a one-loss Ohio State team this year.
And I think, but for a lot of reasons, people would say they should have lost that game. And if the field goal kick goes the other way, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. And some of those Alabama teams over the years have been absolutely loaded for multiple years. So I could go either way on this, but I'm going to trash it just because I think that Ohio State game, they actually could have and maybe should have lost it, and then they didn't get as much competition as you'd like to see in a national championship game the way they blew the doors off TCU.
All right, what is your next cash it or trash it?
Well, there's a hot rumor out there on multiple websites that the Houston Astros are talking to Trevor Bauer.
Ugh,
and Trevor Bauer, yep, on multiples, including Google.
Not Google.
When you do a Yahoo search, it's the number one article that comes up. And then it's not Bleacher Report. It's, where did I just, saw it. I just had it up again. But there's several sites that are saying the Astros and Trevor Bauer could be talking. Do you think Trevor Bauer could be an addition to the Houston Astros this year?
I'm trashing this. Putting it in the trash can, putting it in the dumpster, and telling the trash pickup to come immediately.
Well, Sports Illustrated. Could the Astros really entertain the idea of adding Trevor Bauer?
That's 46
minutes ago.
That's more of a talking point than a rumor.
They're not the only one that I've seen. It's fan something or other.
Wherever you saw it, I'm completely trashing it. Absolutely not. There's not a spot in the rotation, quite frankly. Like, I know Justin Verlander left, but the Astros still have a solid, and I would say very good, six-man rotation, even without Justin Verlander. So there's not a spot in the rotation for the Houston Astros. Secondly, even if you want to get rid of the criminal stuff, which he got no criminal stuff, kind of like the Deshaun Watson thing. But even if you were to just ignore that completely, the Astros are not an organization, especially now more than ever. Whenever you have Dusty Baker, Jeff Bagwell, Enos Cabell, all these old school guys that have the ear of Jim Crane. Maybe you see this with Jeff Luhnow because he brought in Roberto Osuna. I don't believe that the Astros are going to bring in a bad locker room guy. So even before you talk about like what he was doing in his bedroom, I don't believe they would bring in Trevor Bauer just because of his potential of killing that locker room. There's absolutely no chance trashing this one completely.
Yeah, completely trash it. They're not. I mean, you mentioned the closer they brought in 2018, but I mean, this is also a team that still has to deal with people taking swipes at them about the sign stealing scandal. They're not going to welcome another horrible headline.
All right, my next cash it or trash it. Carlos Correa has signed a $200 million 6-year deal. There's still details in the contract, and he has to pass a physical
again,
which has always been the issue. This is the third time he's agreed to a contract, by the way. But Jeff Passan said the deal has a vesting option that can max out at $270 million. Not sure how long that goes, but let's just use the baseline deal for a moment. 6 years, $200 million. I know that a lot of people are looking at this as Carlos Correa lost a lot of money because he signed with the Giants originally, $350 for 13, signed with the Mets, $315 for 12. Carlos Correa will end up making more money over the life of his career because he signed with the Minnesota Twins, because he would need to recoup $150 over 7 years after this Minnesota deal. I believe he's going to play pretty well enough over the 6 years where he's going to capitalize on the $200 million. And then when he's a free agent again, it's not going to be all in one sum, not one contract, but just incrementally, that he'll end up making more than $350 over 13, the original deal that San Francisco gave him.
Oh, I hear everything you're saying. The main reason I say trash it is because where there's smoke, there's fire. If this was one organization and one set of doctors that saw something that threw up a red flag, it'd be one thing. It's multiple organizations that have thrown up a red flag after throwing open their checkbook and had serious reservations to the point where he had to move yet again. That means somewhere down the line, and I'm not wishing injury on anyone, but if there's that kind of medical concerns now, is there any guarantees that they're going to be rectified or get better before they get worse?
But he's going to go the Brantley route.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
He's going to get $30 million for a year, $60 million for 2 years. That type of way. He's not going to get a huge contract.
I see what you're saying.
Again, but incrementally, he's going to get more
than $350 for 13.
It's the anti-Dallas
Keuchel. Yeah. It's the anti-Dallas Keuchel approach. I just think that we knew him as being a guy that if he was ever, we always kept saying, if he could have ever stayed healthy as an Astro, what could he have done? And now we're talking about true medicals that are raising red flags. I'll say for that reason is why I will trash it.
I agree with Joel's reasoning, and I'll also piggyback to that. When this contract is done, assuming it happens, he's going to be 35, and I don't know if those type of contracts that would get him over the mark are still going to be offered his way at that point in his career.
Brantley's making pretty good money.
Wouldn't it really be more related to if during this contract he reaches all of the maximums of the contract?
That's kind of the caveat here is I don't know what the vesting option is.
They said it could get to 2.7.
But we don't know the years.
Right.
So we don't know like the AAV. Like this AAV with the Twins is 33.3. The AAV with the Mets was 26.25. And the AAV with San Francisco is 26.9. So like this contract looks awful for Correa for the like totality of it. But he's making,
just on first glance,
he's making over $6 million more per year on this deal with the Twins. If you can have a long career where like you have a Jose Abreu, a Michael Brantley, maybe it comes into play. I'm not sure I totally cash it. What's your final one, B-Mac?
I'll make it quick since we're up against it, but I believe two road playoff teams this week are going to win, and I think the teams that are going down, I think the Vikings are going down, and actually I just realized as I said this, the team that I picked is actually on the road, but I believe two higher seeds maybe, or two teams with better records. Maybe that's the way I should have phrased it, but I believe the Vikings are going down. I do not trust Kirk Cousins in this sort of situation, and I know the Cowboys, maybe you could say they didn't have to have that game because they were already in the playoffs, but the way they looked last week against the Commanders, I think they lose this week to the Buccaneers. So two teams with 12-plus wins. How about we phrase it like that?
I'm going to trash this. I don't believe that to happen. I think that there's three road teams that could win this week. I think the Chargers could win at Jacksonville, not willing to bet it. I don't think the Giants could beat Minnesota. And the Dallas at Tampa Bay, I think that one's in play. I don't think that there's going to be more than one road team that wins this week in the wild card.
I think the Chargers are going to beat the Jags. And I think that Tampa Bay is fully capable to beat the Cowboys.
Well, they're at home.
Right, and I know that they're at home. Yeah, I don't think either. As much as I don't like the Vikings, and I don't like Kirk Cousins, and I agree with you there, B-Mac, I just don't know that the Giants have enough weaponry to go back, to go into Minnesota and win that game in a hostile environment. So as much as I like it, I can't see it. I can't see it. I can see one, two. I think there's a chance for two, but because Tampa's
so you'll take
at home.
Either the Vikings or the Cowboys losing, but not both?
Right.
Gotcha.
Cash it or trash it every Tuesday at 2 with the Killer Bees. Texans yesterday, Nick Caserio, Cal McNair, they had the state of the union for the Texans organization. What are the biggest takeaways? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, the wait is over. Frankie's Italian Kitchen is up and ready to go at the new location. They are open for business, and they want you to come on back and sample that great Italian food yet again in a bigger, better environment, indoor and outdoor, live music, a great bar that they call Dino's Bar. Like Dean Martin, where you can sit in a comfortable, beautiful environment with friends and family, spread out, relax, and just like the old location, enjoy all the great food and some beverages and some entertainment along the way. And Chris has not taken a single shortcut in making sure all the great menu items are still there. How about a double French pork chop? How about wonderful veal chop, bone-in, as well as fillets? 20-ounce bone-in ribeyes. They're adding more bone-in ribeyes, additional seafood on the menu. Able to get a beautiful Chilean sea bass. All the great delicacies and food are there. But, of course, all of your great Italian favorites. The lasagna, the pizza, all the different things that make them so much better than the rest. Check them out right now. The new location, just over a mile away from the old location, is on the north side of the FM 1093 between Spring Green and FM 1463, right off Highway 99. So if you're in the Fulshear, Richmond, Sugar Land, Katy area, it's right down your alley, and it is right there where you need it to be. The lunch menu offered from 11 to 4, they're going to bring back all of the staples and all so much more. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by, because you know I love this place. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Wheel. Fun sports.
When you need AC help, you need Century Air Solutions. They design and install high-efficiency geothermal systems made by water furnace and can save you up to 70% on the energy bills of your home or business. Go to CenturyAirSolutions.com or give them a call at 281-516-9974.
Hi, this is Eric Dick, a home insurance lawyer. If you have damage to your home, call or text me right now at 832-LAWYERS. That's 832-LAWYERS. What I've learned is that home insurance companies, they're in the business of making money, not paying out claims. That's why you get a home insurance lawyer like me. That's why you call or text me at 832-LAWYERS. That's 832-LAWYERS. You'll get a free consultation, and if I take the case, I'll hound them and pound them to get you the money you deserve. Don't delay. Call me today. Call me right away at 832-LAWYERS. Look, your home insurance company, they're going to have a lawyer. You should have one, too. Call me right now at 832-LAWYERS. This is Eric Dick, a home insurance lawyer. I've lived in Houston all my life. My office is in Houston. Call me today at 832-LAWYERS. Tell your insurance company to stop playing, start paying. Get a lawyer. Call 832-LAWYERS.
Hey, everybody, order a vehicle the way you want it. Chastain Ford product specialists are there to assist you in personalizing your Ford truck, van, or SUV and choose the available features that fit your lifestyle in person, over the phone, or in a virtual meeting. With limited supply across the country, there's never been a better time to pre-order your new Ford the way you want it. Don't settle. Call them or chat with them online, and they'll walk you through the process. Go to ChastainFord.com. That's ChastainFord.com. Do it today.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags.
I have full confidence in Nick. He has led our football operation through a difficult stretch and continues to prove he's an elite talent evaluator. We talk constantly and have a plan for this process that we will execute together over the next days and weeks. For this hire, I'll be taking on a more active role in the process.
That's our guy. Well, at least my guy. Cool Cat Cal.
When they're meeting in the meeting room, discussing coaches, I'll be flipping burgers and serving them up for lunch.
Somebody earlier said that press conference sounded exactly like your impersonation. That's how you know you've made it, is whenever Cal, who you're impersonating, sounds exactly like you, the guy you're impersonating.
Nick is a smart guy. He's a football guy. And now he's going to deal with the big guy because I'm in the room.
Do you believe Cal McNair, though, that they have full trust in Nick Caserio?
I think they do.
I think so, too.
I think that at the end of the day, they still went out and got a guy that they believe learned some things from Bill Belichick. That they saw what they saw this year from the draft class as much as they could see of it. And sure that there's some work to do at the top. But the bigger thing is, like you had mentioned earlier in this show, the fact that you found your stud running back in the fourth round. The fact that, you know, you got a Christian Harris when you got him, and you could see once he got on the field that he could be impactful. That you did some things to make you believe, as we look at other aspects of the role of general manager, from a talent evaluation standpoint, the dude has a pretty good grasp and concept of it. He's not elite yet, but he's got a grasp and concept.
Yeah, he's not. We had that conversation a little bit. Because Cal, I mean, we just heard the quote. He said that Nick Caserio is an elite talent evaluator. I think he's good at talent evaluation. Yeah. Some people, I don't think, give him the credit that maybe, I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, the credit that he deserves. But if you go back to, let's have the free agent conversation first. I think the free agents that he brought in here, we mock a lot of them, like Rex Burkhead. I think Rex Burkhead has
year
a place
one,
on the roster.
You can mock away. Year two, Jerry Hughes and Stevie Nelson alone tell me.
Right.
Dude knows what he's doing.
Oboe, the
Rams
edge rusher for the Rams, has been good. Christian Kirksey's been all right. Like, he's brought four where
he's
the Texans
star,
are.
Jeremy.
I'll say this.
James Palmer.
Little James Palmer reference. I would say this about Nick Caserio. Like, the free agents that Nick Caserio has brought in here, I think would be great additions to a playoff caliber
team. Sure.
And where the Texans are in this rebuild, it's like it doesn't have the impact that it would if this foundation was already in place. But if the Texans get in a place in 2 years where they're a playoff contender, and then all of a sudden you're adding the production of a Jerry Hughes, a Stevie Nelson, I think that we look at Nick Caserio's additions a lot differently. I think the situation that we're currently in with the Texans matters. If you look at the draft, and let's start with his first draft, which I think was half a draft because you didn't have a first, you didn't have a second. Thank you, Bill O'Brien. Davis Mills. And I know that Davis Mills is ridiculed in this city, and we were ridiculing him for a very long time, and we disagreed at one point of time, like how good he could be. Mm-hmm. But we were talking in the offseason, not just us, everybody in the city, could Davis Mills be a capable NFL starter? You had a third-round rookie, and all of a sudden that conversation's being had. That's not bad for a third-round quarterback.
How many rookies are ready to take the reins full-blown with no really backup plan and be able to at least carry you game to game?
That might be a little bit of a reach.
I'm not saying carry the team.
Right.
But go game to game by at least being able to be the starting quarterback.
Let's just say that he's a capable NFL backup.
I think
that's fine for a third rounder. NFL capable for the quarterback position, because you're trying to get starters in the third round. But you have a capable quarterback backup in the NFL, not terrible for a third rounder. I didn't love that they traded up for Nico Collins, but Nico Collins, where you got him, is just fine. And if you look at this year's draft from a talent evaluation point of view, look, I think that the governor was on for Derek Stingley. We've had this conversation over and over and over. Lovie Smith and Derek Stingley were not a match. Lovie Smith doesn't really believe in lockdown corners. He doesn't even love cornerbacks, period. Caserio drafted a corner at number three anyways. The Kenyon Green thing, we can have that conversation. I thought he had a disappointing rookie year.
Can I ask you something about the Stingley situation?
Sure, of course.
So the same way that we talk about, like, in order to give every franchise-type quarterback coming out of college every opportunity to succeed, you want the right offensive coordinator and coach and the consistency of having them around for a while.
Uh-huh.
On the flip side, if you take a guy as high as you took Stingley, and you know that a guy like Lovie was not going to play the man coverage that we wanted to see so we could see what he could truly do, do you think that was a factor in getting him fired? Or in him getting fired?
Well, if you listen to some of the, read some of the reports on like why they fired Lovie, there were some people that within the organization that said Lovie was very stubborn, basically.
Because I could see that being exactly that. Stubbornness, Lovie says, I don't run that. I don't care who you drafted. I don't care what he can do from a future perspective. I'm trying to win games right now, and I'm not playing man. And the Caserios of the world and the people above Lovie going, yeah, but we drafted a guy and we got to see what he can do, and we're not going anywhere. Do what you can do to see if we know and evaluate exactly how good he can be.
The irony with that is that, like, you look back at when Lovie Smith was hired, though, They hired Lovie Smith. And remember, some of the benefits and the positives of Lovie Smith was that he was not going to be impressed and impressionable by Nick Caserio. Because everybody's like, oh, the GM shouldn't be in the headset. The GM shouldn't be listening.
Right.
Or the head coach shouldn't be listening to the GM. Part of hiring Lovie Smith is the positives of hiring Lovie Smith was that he was not going to bow down to Nick Caserio. And then fast forward 12 months, slightly less than 12 months, everybody's like, eh, he probably should have been listening to Caserio a little bit more.
Well, plus the fact that with the Barstool, I think it was interview where he said how unimportant the corner is.
His fifth most defensive position.
Then you're already looking at it from the perspective of, well, he's not going to be here long term if I'm taking a corner that high in the draft.
They were never aligned. No. They were never aligned. What you got, B-Mac?
I'm just pointing out, we saw a similar situation play out with the Astros where their GM and their coach or manager, as you were, didn't necessarily agree on some of the personnel decisions. We later heard that James Click had to trade Knicks by his owner, and I think we saw a similar situation play out here. So I think it's absolutely a factor if they didn't agree on kind of the philosophy that they want to go to with building the roster, that could have got them run out, disagreeing with Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it got James Click run out.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like, James Click at least had the offer on the table, right? Which I don't think James Click was
very smart. I think it might have been a low ball offer just so they could say they made the offer.
Yeah, low ball, but more money than James Click's going to make this next year.
Well, sure.
Not currently working. I think James Click should have accepted that offer and just, you know, look for jobs throughout the entire season. 713-780-ESPN.
When's the best time to find a new job? Well, you still got a job.
Exactly. 713-780-3776. All right, Caserio. Some of the key sound bites that he had to say yesterday. A lot of people pointing out that Caserio's like, yeah, I'll step down if need be. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for Apollo Men's Health, because it's more than just for men. It's for men and for women. And it is absolutely fantastic in getting you to feeling great and feeling like you can conquer the day again. And we all know we go through it. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, you have problems that you've never experienced before, and you think that there's no way to turn back time and get back to the point where you didn't have any of these issues. There really is, and it starts with the people at Apollo Men's Health. They care about their patients. They do a great job of getting you the results and letting you feel great yet again in your life, and be able to sustain it for an extended period of time. Go to ApolloMH.com right now. See all the different services they offer and all the different ways they can help. If there's a couple on their list of services that you know could help you too, make an appointment. When you make that appointment, you go in with an open mind, you answer their questions, you tell them what you're trying to achieve, they put you on a program that works, they get you the results you're after. That's why they are fantastic. They did it for me. They did it for Patrick Creighton. They could do it for you too. Check them out today and mention my name, Joel Blank, and when you start the process, maybe it's a workout program you're looking to start. They'll give you a free body composition analysis, which basically tells you what your body fat is and your weight and your muscle mass and all the key numbers that you need to know. Take one of those body comps, which only take a minute, and do it every 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe you don't feel like you're making gains or feeling like you think you're actually getting results. Then you take the body comp and you realize, wow, my body fat's down. My muscle mass is up. This is great. And it gives you motivation to keep going. Want to recover quicker? HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies, they got that too. Start the process today. Go to ApolloMH.com. Set up an appointment. Tell them I sent you by. And remember, they're good people doing great things on a daily basis. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, I know for many of you, living in pain is just what you do. You just try to play through it. It can be a knee, a shoulder, a back. You don't have to live with that chronic pain. I know that you say, I know, Lance, I go to the doctor, I'll get shots, or I'll take pain medicine, or eventually I'm going to get surgery. Well, how about the fact that your body's own healing powers are the most effective? And regenerative medicine is what QC Kinetics does. They take the body's healing power, they supercharge it, they put it back into the joints. And what begins to happen is you see restoring and regenerating processes on your damaged tissue, which helps to start to eliminate that chronic pain. You see results very, very quickly. For some people, it takes longer. For some people, it's a very short process, but they work. Look at the reviews and ask my wife, who has had 4 processes already on her severely damaged right knee. It is a game changer, guys. Make sure you call 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285, or go to QCKinetics.com.
See website for details. Billsappen is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Must be 18 years old. Not available in all states.
Honey, the credit card bill came and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards. Rent is due. Bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by for a few weeks.
We should do what my brother did. He went to BillsHappen.com and got $3,000 the next day.
With our bad credit, I don't think so.
BillsHappen.com is different. They are one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with all credit types get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope, my brother said it was easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan for up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account the next day. BillsHappen.com's lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history.
Great news! I went to BillsHappen.com, and we will have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to BillsHappen.com. That's BillsHappen.com. BillsHappen.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 5742 says, if Mills was on San Francisco, he'd look pretty darn good. I am curious about that. Your microphone's not on. We couldn't hear a word that you
said. I still don't
think
he's Brock Purdy.
He's not Brock Purdy.
And Brock Purdy's done some things.
Third rounder versus Mr. Irrelevant. Like, if he was coached by Kyle Shanahan, does Shanahan bring more out of Davis Mills? There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
If Davis Mills was under Kyle Shanahan, Davis Mills looks better than Davis Mills has looked under Tim Kelly and Pep Hamilton, although he didn't look awful in the last five games under Tim Kelly. Look, Davis Mills was a third rounder. Brock Purdy is a seventh. You put them in identical situations, which of the two is better? I don't think it's outrageous to say Davis Mills.
But I don't think it's a slam dunk either.
No, it's not.
I think that sometimes what an NFL scout can pick up on that maybe ownership general managers aren't as quick to want to jump on, but can also be convinced of it, is that this guy has kind of that X factor that only certain quarterbacks have that we've seen, whether it be the intangibles and the leadership, or basically the go for it mode where he's able to execute plays that some guys just freeze up on. Whatever that is, it doesn't necessarily, your draft, where you're drafted doesn't necessarily define you, but it shouldn't also anoint you.
Completely agree. And look, this might actually be a better case to use for our logic that situation matters a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just assume that Davis Mills has a third-round talent. He was a third-rounder. Brock Purdy has seventh-round talent. He was a seventh-rounder. Look how important the situation has mattered. Because Davis Mills looks like hot garbage, where he's like a career backup, and Brock Purdy all of a sudden is like the next Jimmy Garoppolo, yep, where he looks like he can win a lot of football games. And one is in an awful situation, the third-rounder. One is in a great situation, the seventh-rounder. The situation, in my mind, is so underrated when it comes to a quarterback. We brought up the name Pat Mahomes earlier. Pat Mahomes in college, like, he had good numbers. He was fine. Didn't win a lot of games. Was with Cliff Kingsbury. They didn't win a lot of games in Lubbock. I think it's a tough place to win football games. And Pat Mahomes, like, ended up sliding to number 10 in the NFL draft. Was a turnover machine. Made bad throws. Like, made bad decisions. All of a sudden, he goes to Andy Reid, who's an offensive genius. The situation's incredible. You have Tyreek Hill. You have Travis Kelce. They even redshirted him for a year. Pat Mahomes sat his rookie year. Pat Mahomes, who many people think he's the greatest quarterback of all time, now still needs to, you know, put together the counting stats, but talking from a talent point of view, I think he is the best quarterback right now. If you want to throw Josh Allen into the conversation, I'll listen to that, but I think it's Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes, who had questions coming out of college so much that he dropped to number 10, all of a sudden gets dropped into an unbelievable once-in-a-lifetime situation. Reed, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and now he's the best quarterback in the NFL. Situation matters so much when it comes to the quarterback position.
Different scenario, but same thing that you're talking about in terms of situation matters, right? Stetson Bennett, everybody says, great college quarterback, never going to be able to play in the NFL. Never going to play in the NFL. But when you think about it, if there's a situation where you're not expected to do too much, if there's a situation where you are ball control, where you've got resources like you're talking about, where he gets drafted in the NFL, and I'm not saying he's going to be a starter either, but there's a job that could be had for a guy that's a highly intelligent, very, very reactive quarterback that understands the intangibles, that has a running game, that has the ability to get the typical, you know, similar to like a Drew Brees. We know he's got a good arm, but you know what? If he just gets out of his hands quickly so he avoids getting hit, he doesn't have to run, he doesn't extend plays, but he's in an offense that has enough weapons around him, there's a scenario with a system and a situation where he could be an NFL quarterback.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Go out to the HRMP listener line. Thomas, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Thomas?
How's it going, boys?
Wonderful.
What's up, man?
I just wanted to touch in on y'all's conversation about the situation versus Mills versus Purdy. And I mean, y'all are pretty accurate. You know, there's coaches that are known for development, still, you know, developing younger talent. There's coaches that are known to, you know, be able to drop and make the best of the talent. And unfortunately, yeah, I think, you know, you surround Davis Mills with a better scheme and more talent. I think he has a better chance of succeeding. And it's up, you know, to this alternate reality where we don't know what happens. Or maybe in the future we can see what he can develop into.
Right.
But the other thing is this is where I knew our season was kind of done and the Pep Hamilton experience was done. Was this guy's considered a quarterback guru for whatever going into the season? That's what his conversation was. And I just never saw Davis Mills feel comfortable at any point, unlike that, you know, that 5-game span last year. I knew we were done for offensively when, you know, we're snapping on the one count and there's no movement pre snap. And, you know, Davis Mills set up the fail. So I still think he, you know, I'm not a Mills Mafia guy, but I wouldn't be surprised down the line you see a thing come up and he's a good backup or, you know, fighting for a starting job on a crappy team. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Thomas. I think he could be a very quality backup on a Benny Johnson coached team. Like, Jared, like,
can we just go Big Johnson?
No, I don't like that.
Like, I knew you did. I knew you wouldn't.
We don't know.
I knew you
we
wouldn't.
We have no idea. I mean, that's all up to,
I mean,
that's all
he
up
is
to the,
he's a top notch, maybe the biggest candidate out there. So the Texans need a Big Johnson.
He's not a very big man, though.
Not in stature, but in name recognition after what he's able to do in 1 year's time in Detroit.
For some. He's 6'1", 195.
You go Benny. And
so you can jump to your own conclusions.
Okay. Here's the question I was going to ask you following that call, because I was going to ask it before the call even came up.
I'm not taking questions right now.
Do you think that if Pep Hamilton was just the quarterback coach?
Yeah, he's fine.
I think he could have developed Davis Mills. But okay. I think that but as a coordinator, I don't think he's putting the effort into the development and the practice habits and the things that he concentrates on as a quarterback coach when he's coaching for his
right
career.
It's a better role for him. It's a better role for him. I think that I don't know if it's a better conversation, but like where my mind goes to immediately is what impact leads to a quarterback's development. Like, I think a quarterback coach matters a lot, but I don't know if it matters more than the offensive coordinator.
See, because I think the offensive coordinator, he's worried with the whole offense.
Sure.
He's working with the running backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends, the O-line, and he's also trying to, in his mind, function in terms of the plays he wants to run
facts,
and can run. But I think the quarterback coach, his job is to work with quarterbacks. So every single snap at practice, he's going, hey, you know, you're not getting off your back foot enough. You're not doing this. Slide here. Do that. And I think that with people that have anointed Pep Hamilton in the past as a quarterback whisperer, if he was just focused on Davis Mills, Davis Mills might have come out of this a much better quarterback.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. Okay. I don't disagree with that at all. Now, it's certainly Pep Hamilton's better role. You throw in the element of Pep Hamilton.
I said he'll never take the demotion, but if Pep Hamilton could be your quarterback coach with whoever you bring into this franchise, I think he'd do a good job.
I'm not sure Pep Hamilton will ever be an offense coordinator in the NFL again. He's failed twice. He failed at Indy, got fired mid-year, and he's not going to be on the staff next year, assuming that he doesn't accept the demotion to being the quarterback coach, because I can't imagine any coach would keep him more than that. He does have a son that plays quarterback at Pearland, though. Maybe that would enter into the conversation. Probably not. As far as Davis Mills goes and like his progression, look, to Thomas's point, we noticed pretty early that Davis Mills was kind of throwing low-key shade towards Pep Hamilton's offense.
Yep.
Like, he was mentioning some subtle things, and I'm like, man, Davis Mills is not really enjoying his time as the Houston Texans quarterback. He would reference the year prior kind of being easier than this year. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to Javier. Javier, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Javier?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in about like situational things about throwing players into situations. I just want to get y'all's take. So I know we have the second round, so we have the second pick in the first round. I'm kind of thinking, you know, I mean, I want to get y'all's guys' opinion too. We really don't have the best offensive line. I know a lot of people are saying that we need to take, you know, the guy from Alabama, but those Alabama quarterbacks are kind of made of glass, and I'm kind of worried he's going to be running for his life with us not having the best offensive line right now. So I'm throwing my support against the Ohio State guy. So what do y'all think?
Hold on. You're saying you throw your support for the Ohio State guy because you think Stroud's more healthy, like a healthier guy, durable guy than Bryce Young? Is that your point? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just trying to make sure that it's clear.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying because –
So he's saying draft O-line with
the 12th. You know, I don't want him running for his life. You know, like RG3 was running for his life. Like Deshaun was kind of running for his life. You know, I don't want, you know, our next quarterback to go down with injuries because we really don't have the best offensive line right now to protect them.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Javier. Let's answer that on the other side because I think it's a great point. I think the offensive line question is a great one. How you go about getting it, I think, comes into play here. And we're talking, too, about the quarterback situation, like, mattering a lot around the landscape of the NFL. Pat Mahomes, you know, good, talented college quarterback, didn't have the best numbers, didn't have a winning team, all of a sudden gets dropped into a one-of-a-kind situation, and, you know, the rest is history. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. I have a kind of a scenario involving the rookie class of quarterbacks this year, and I'm kind of curious to see what you think. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Texans have quarterback potentially in their future. I have Gentle Ben in my future. I haven't made the decision yet whether it's the vodka, the gin, or the bourbon. Probably the bourbon tonight. I got a little scratch in the throat. The bourbon always helps me with that. So make sure that you're doing the same. You got a scratch in your throat? Try the Gentle Ben bourbon. You're trying to have a refreshing drink? Try the vodka, try the gin. The bourbon's very refreshing as well. Gentle Ben, of course, a line of ultra-premium spirits using their state-of-the-art, innovative, Prosecco craft technology that's better in purity, better in aroma, and most importantly, better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip if you haven't already done so. Most of our listeners have. I saw a couple people in the Twitch chat the last couple of days saying they had some Gentle Ben over the break, and you lived up to your what you were selling us. Everything that the hype shows is true when it comes to Gentle Ben. So make sure you get your hands on it. Ever since I had my hands on it, I've been a Gentle Ben man. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You know you can find the Gentle Ben vodka and gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentleben.com. But that double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards, the bourbon, is now out on the market as well. You can find it at Total Wine. You can find it at most specs in the city of Houston and way throughout the greater Houston area as well. Get your hands on the double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards, the Gentle Ben Bourbon. Also, if you're headed to a Total Wine, check out those end caps. Participating Total Wines in the Houston area, the Gentle Ben on the end caps. Headed to a Rockets game? We'll stop by any bar inside the Toyota Center. Get your hands on some Gentle Ben or head over to Section 125, the Gentle Ben Bar inside the Toyota Center and try out that signature drink, the Big Shot Bob. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
It's hard to miss the new eye-catching digital billboard on wheels cruising around town. That's Running Boards Marketing. Running Boards Marketing literally drives your message straight to your target audience, boosting brand recognition and increasing sales and revenue. Are you ready to reach more customers and get ahead of the competition? Then call 713-898-7839. That's 713-898-7839. And visit rbmwesthouston.com. rbmwesthouston.com.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
John Granato here. I want to introduce you guys to Artisan Grange's Canstead and Dew Blend Dip. I don't dip. Never have. But I have a lot of buddies who do. And I'm asking them all to switch. Go to 975dip.com and check out how you can dip a lot healthier. They're pouches of hemp filled with hemp with CBD in every pouch. No tobacco, no nicotine, with the benefits of CBD. You've got great tobacco or original flavors to choose from. Break away from that old, messy, stinky, dangerous way to dip to a better, healthier way. It's 975dip.com, 975dip.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lance Erline's going to punch me in the face here pretty soon.
Can I watch?
He said that way too eagerly and way too quickly. I keep walking by his office at least once a day and saying that...
Will Levis.
Yeah, I just whisper the name Will Levis. Lance tweeted, somebody tagged me in his tweet. I didn't see this. Somebody tagged me because I'm a huge Will Levis guy. I'm a huge Will Levis and Willie Levis and a huge Benny Johnson guy. Lance tweeted, I had this
same
question.
So you like Big Johnsons and...
I like Benny Johnson.
And really...
I like Willie Levis and I like Benny Johnson. Nothing less, nothing
more. And Slick
more.
Willies? You like Slick Willies and Big Johnsons?
You're making a lot of innuendos and you're showing your own personality.
Oh, am
you're
I?
Is that slapstick? Oh. That's not slapstick humor.
You're
slapstick
slapping Big Johnsons like and Slick Willies?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I'm just going by what you
said. How old are you?
Old enough to know.
How old are you? Anyways,
old enough to feel comfortable talking about it.
Lance tweeted this a moment ago, which I have the same exact question. Like, I really
okay.
do. I think that Lance is probably coming at it from a different side of the ledger than I am. But Lance said, everyone on Twitter has an opinion about Will Levis, but I seriously question how many people have actually watched him. It's not like Kentucky was on TV all the time. I'm not saying I have him highly rated. Just not sure I believe everyone commenting has actually watched him. I have that same take as Lance. I am curious.
Well, you said people, and you were going to go down that rabbit
hole. I'm
about
60% of the way watching every Will Levis snap that he's taken at
Kentucky. God, your wife must love you.
I don't do it when she's in the house,
okay.
Which is why I've been so slow at it. Like, I've not been able to, you know, it's not my second job. So it's difficult
well, but
for
you're
me
also
to
not
do it
in the house very often, so
yeah,
you have plenty of time.
That's why I'm only 60%. Well, no. I mean, I'm usually working when I'm not in the house.
Well, but you travel and...
Yeah.
You're on planes, trains, and automobiles, and you're doing women's games. And
but how are you going to watch that when doing all those things?
You
got to
kill time.
Described?
Like, if you leave the show and you got to do U of H, you're not driving all the way 150 miles home.
All those things you just described are things that take up time that I'm preoccupied
between,
and I cannot watch.
But you have time on your hands between because, like I said, when you're done with a show, you're not going back to...
Yeah, but it's usually prep, you know. Which game am I preparing for?
You're so
like
good.
That.
You don't need to prep that much.
Come on. I prep a lot. Anyways, but I had that question too. Like, be honest right now. I want the Hive right now to be honest with us. And you could like Levis. You could hate Levis. It could be anywhere in between. I don't care. I really don't care. And like Lance is right. Kentucky wasn't on TV a ton. Most of the games, all the games that I watch of Levis, I search for them on YouTube. And a lot of them were like SEC Network games or SEC Plus
games.
Or
they were playing someone they're getting their doors blown off by a really big dominant school.
That's not always the case. They won 10 games last year.
Yeah, but they got, I mean, I'm saying the games that were on TV, they did not, I don't think they fared very well.
This year, more than last year.
Yes.
This year, I mean, they went 7-5, but they struggled relative to the best of the SEC more this year than they did last year. They had a bad offensive coordinator. They already fired him. They had one of the worst Power 5 offensive lines in the country. One of the worst college football
offensive
lines
going,
in the country.
That was theirs going back.
Rams, Liam Cohen.
Or Rams, yeah.
Liam Cohen, who was at Kentucky, left the Rams to go be their
That's
OC,
right.
and then left Kentucky to go be the Rams OC, is now going back to the Big Blue Nation. To be their OC because they fired the other guy because he was so bad and Levis was hurt all year. But I want an answer to that question. Like, let us know. Look, it's anonymous. You don't have to tell us who you are. You're texting in 713-780-3776. You could love Levis. You could hate Levis. You could be anywhere in between. What percentage of snaps, Levis has been at Kentucky the last 2 years, What percentage of snaps have you seen Will Levis take? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I really want to know. I don't care if you like him. I don't care if you hate him. I want to know the answer to that question. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Justin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Justin?
Doing well, guys. So here's the problem. I've watched every snap for Bryce Young because I was able to get my hands on all 22. If you want to give me the all 22 for Levis, I'll watch every bit of it. But yeah, outside of that, all we get is highlight film, and it really doesn't do it any justice. So I'm with you. We probably haven't seen the majority of tape.
Here's the thing, too, that I was thinking about as you were prefacing the question. To me, and I think this matters too much with too many Texans fans, to me, they're so enamored with where they played. So enamored with, did they play for like a Nick Saban? Did that mean that he was a five-star recruit? So that meant his whole life he's been the best. But then when you're surrounded by the best, how can you really get a true evaluation? All I want them to do is get the best guy for the job. I don't care where they played and who they played for and what resources they had or didn't have, as long as when push comes to shove and all kinds of poking and prodding go on with the whole draft pre-draft process, you figure out if you've got a big kid that can put the right combination together between the measurables and the intangibles, has the arm strength, has the physicality, has the ability to escape a little bit of run, but can put all those things together. So I'm not closing the door. Like, you and I have, yeah, like, I had preferred Bryce Young. You preferred Levis. Look, I don't care if it's either one of those guys or Stroud, as long as they get the guy that is best suited to do the job for this team.
A lot of times it's the situation, too. Like, I've called Will Levis the best pro prospect of those three, in my opinion, obviously, my opinion, because no one else really believes that. But if, let's just assume that the Texans kept Lovie, they kept Pep, they're running back the same offense that they had. Like, it doesn't matter which of the three quarterbacks you put into that offense, they're going to be an inferior player, mm-hmm, than another quarterback that you drop in a really good offense.
Right.
Like, if Detroit drafted Will Levis and they kept Ben Johnson somehow, and the Texans still had Lovie Smith, Pep Hamilton, and they drafted Bryce Young, well, Levis is going to be better because he's in a much better situation to succeed. And I, like, so that matters a great deal. Head coach, situation around him, and Javier brought up the point in the call of the previous segment, talking about the offensive line. I think the offensive line can absolutely have some improvement to it. I don't think the offensive line is as bad as Javier seems to think that it is. Like, Laremy Tunsil is very good, although, right, I'm pro-trade Laremy Tunsil. Titus Howard is fine as a right tackle. I'm hoping that we see progression from Kenyon Green. I think where the Texans need upgrades offensively.
But it's also, be fair, Kenyon Green, he's 50% there. He can block for the run. He just needs a whole lot of work pass blocking.
Sure, that's fair. But pass blocking, I would, at that position, which one of the two do you value the most? I would say today's day and age, NFL, you need some good pass blockers, but whatever. You want to see progression, mm-hmm, there. I think that the Texans' offensive line can get significantly better without even spending a draft pick there. Like, I think you can sign an above-average center in free agency or draft an above-average center in the draft and have a huge upgrade there. Same thing at right guard. I think you can sign an above-average right guard and have immediate upgrades. So I think the offensive line has a chance to be pretty good next year, especially with the right coaching staff. So you can fix the offensive line, you hope you can, with late draft picks or
free agency,
and you're going to have
the money.
Well,
you and I have talked about this, too. Everybody kind of looks at it and says, because the team was so bad, that the line was so bad, too. The line was not as bad as people sold them out to be. They were average to middle of the road, maybe a little better at times, maybe a little worse at times, depending on who was playing guard. But at the same time, they weren't nearly as bad as they used to be. They were serviceable and more. They had the two tackles that were fully capable of being really good tackles in the NFL and hold their own. So I think that there's not, I wouldn't use the number 12 pick in the first round on an offensive lineman when there are other guys you can get at different positions that could help make this quarterback succeed quicker.
I wouldn't draft an offensive lineman in the first two rounds. Unless you have intentions of trading Laremy Tunsil or moving Titus Howard to one of the guard positions, and you draft like the
Don't
Duke
you have
from
to
Ohio
resign
State,
him too?
Paris Campbell, I think. Laremy?
No, Howard.
Howard's got another year.
Okay.
Another year because they already picked up his fifth year player option, but he wants a contract too.
He does.
He was talking about that
because
the other day.
The other thing is, you look at it, and look at how many swings and misses there have been as opposed to success stories with highly touted offensive linemen that you continue to draft in the first round. You can find guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth rounds, but if they can play the position, they can play the position.
Especially the two positions you're looking for, center and guard.
Guard and center. Correct.
I think we also have to factor in the impact a new quarterback, a new offensive coordinator, maybe you draft a receiver at 12. If you've got a quarterback that's getting rid of it quicker, if you got Ben Johnson seeming a better offense, yep, better receivers getting open quicker, that can make a big difference to what we perceive as the quality of the
offensive
line.
But I've seen too many times, too, where you can either, like to Jeremy's point, go to free agency and find a guy that's been there, done that, that's still young enough.
For sure.
That could be serviceable in the positions you're looking for.
I mean, go back to 2011 when the Texans probably had the best offensive line they've ever had. Most of those guys, other than Dwayne Brown, are guys they picked up through free agency and trade. They weren't guys they drafted highly.
And then the other thing was, like the Packers did this too, where they look at a guy that, again, where it makes a difference is you go to a guy, a program like Michigan or Alabama or some of those programs, Georgia, and you say, hey, look, this guy wasn't as highly touted as the guy that played next to him on the other side of him, but if you get him in the fourth, fifth round, and in a year's time, you got starters just like that, and it's an easier, cheaper way to fix a problem that would be that could turn out to be something that you can actually hang your hat on for any franchise.
You mentioned earlier about quarterbacks don't necessarily have to be from blue blood universities or powerhouse schools. In fact, I like quarterbacks from the opposite. Mm-hmm. I like quarterbacks that have been in situations in college football where they face adversity. Their players around them are lesser than the players that they're looking across the field to on the defensive side of the football. I just pulled up NFL.com's top 10 quarterbacks right now. Patrick Mahomes had a sub-500 record at Texas Tech. Josh Allen played at Wyoming. Joe Burrow will be an exception here, played on a national championship team at LSU. Justin Herbert at Oregon? I don't know if they're the cream of the crop.
They were good.
They were good. I don't know if they're a powerhouse. Trevor Lawrence absolutely was a powerhouse at Clemson. Dak Prescott was from Mississippi State. Tom Brady couldn't even crack the starting lineup at Michigan. Jared Goff played at Cal. Geno Smith was at West Virginia. Shout out Dana Holgerson. And Aaron Rodgers was a Cal. Like, that's not stacking up a bunch of blue bloods.
Percentage-wise, in terms of how those numbers rate out, more times than not, you don't need the blue blood.
No, and I wouldn't say that it should be one way or the other. Like, I do like my college prospect that I want to, like, hitch the franchise to have adversity in college, not be a blue blood like Stetson Bennett. No one's talking about Stetson Bennett, but it should be case by case. Mm-hmm. Like, it shouldn't sway you one way or the other.
Well, that's why I said when you start poking and prodding and going through these pre-draft workouts and everything like that, then you should really see the cream rise to the top because you're not looking at guys running routes that are beating defensive backs by 5 to 10 yards. You're looking for guys that are just running routes. Now you're looking at timing. You're looking at accuracy. You're looking at arm strength. You're looking at the things that are truly going to matter at the next level when the windows are a lot smaller and the ball has to get out a lot quicker.
Josh and Beaumont, I haven't seen Levis at all. 5-4, 5-2, I've seen 0%. Of Levis. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to BMAC for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston.
Football.
The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.